This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Jim Pete is here, like all of our guests. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Wolves in action again tonight against the best team in the league, the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you have a question or a comment for Jim and you want to text that to us, you certainly can. 651-461-9226. I realize the Wolves did not have Julius Randle last night. They didn't have Dante DiVincenzo. They did not have Mike Conley, but it was another game, Jim, and you see them all, where this team is playing an inferior team. There was no Giannis last night. There was no Dame. If that Milwaukee team plays together, they win about 20 games. That is a game this team should win about 99 out of 100 times. What do you think is going on in this? But there are other signs where you believe in this team. You think notable steps forward, including the bench and some of the young guys who we will discuss. But that is just an inexcusable loss. What's your theory on that?
You have to win that game. You have to win it. I mean, there's just no excuses. And, you know, I don't know if it was a hangover from what happened in Cleveland. You started 0-16. I can't explain it, Chad. I just, you know, I watched Chris Finch's post-game press conference, and you know, I think he's even kind of searching a little bit, you know, for why it happens. I just think that teams have a character of their own, and so much of what happens starts in training camp. And you know, I think that, you know, this whole thing got discombobulated, you know, with Julius Randle being traded, you know, Carl Anthony Towns being traded right before training camp. I mean, it happened on media right before media day, and so I don't know. That's just what you're asking me, why I think this team is so Jekyll and Hyde compared to last year. I mean, obviously you don't have pieces that were very integral last year. Kyle Anderson was really important to Minnesota's. I mean, Chris Finch said it. How many times did he say it last year?
Yeah, a lot.
That, you know, and even like 2 years ago, like Kyle saved our season, you know. When we traded for Rudy Gobert that year, like, he was the only player that could pass Rudy the basketball. And so, like, Kyle was kind of important. So this team is more like the team a couple of years ago that, you know,
mm-hmm.
until they made the trade for Mike Conley and got him in the mix, you know, because, you know, this team was very inconsistent with D'Angelo Russell was at the helm. And so, I don't know. It's just one of those things where this is just a different team. This team is one that is very inconsistent, and that's been really the Bucks' problem too. Even with Giannis and with Damian Lillard, like, you look at the Bucks' season, just watching them, you know, when I have, they've been wildly inconsistent. And there's a lot of teams that are in that same mix. It's why the Western Conference is there's so much parity, is because there's so many teams that are just, like, you know, losing games that they shouldn't lose. Injuries are playing a part of it, for sure. But it's just been a weird season from that perspective.
I get that you're looking for answers, and if you had it, you'd give a definitive one. And I'll concede the first couple months after the Towns, Randall, DiVincenzo trade, there's a lot going on. But when it's February 11th, to me, that's on those guys who are playing. That's on Ant. And I know Ant is just coming off a slew of 40-point games, and I'm not expecting him to be perfect. But, man, it's another game where he just started very poorly. Rudy was good. Nas stepped up later. But that is just a professional performance, which is needed because of your last answer. There is depth in the West. I don't think it's quite as loaded as some others. I got to be honest. I love Oklahoma City. I think the other teams are – there are some other teams that are very good. I don't think there's another great team in the West. That's why – I look at the standings, and some days I convince myself, well, they're going to be a play-in team. And then I think, well, if they just would play 6 weeks at the capabilities, they could be in the third or fourth spot. And they just haven't picked a long enough path. And to be honest, this is the last game before the All-Star break. I truly don't have a great feel for how this team is going to play the next few months before the playoffs begin.
I don't either because you got to integrate Dante back into the mix, and I don't know when he's going to play next. I mean, we're going to be through All-Star break, and then March is going to be here before you know it, and Dante's supposed to come back sometime in March, but I'm not sure exactly when. And they kind of need him to be really successful, and you know, these young guys are definitely making a difference. I'm really Jalen Clark has been such a really nice addition. Because of the young guys, I don't think he was the one that people were thinking was going to step up. You know, he might have been behind Luka in some ways. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really have an idea of what he was going to be. But so Rob has kind of been flustered a little bit. He's turned the ball over, and he's not been great. He's had some really moments of where he looks really successful and like he's going to be a good player. And then, you know, Terrence Shannon Jr. was going to be the guy. Like, everybody, when we picked him, was all the college coaches that I know called me and were telling me that we just got the steal of the draft. And Terrence has shown, here the last couple of games that he's gotten an opportunity that he's got some game in him. He played really well, had a career-high 11 points last night. Like, he looked good. And so, you know, there's things to like about what's happened, but these last two losses have been really disappointing for me. It's like, Chad, you know how this goes, right? Like, where you have these single-game road trips, and, you know, we work so hard. Like, you know, you prep for the game, and you're watching games, and you're prepping, and you're doing all your due diligence, and you come to the game, and they just lay an egg, and you go, what the heck did I do all that work for?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you flip
okay, before we take a break.
Cleveland. Oh, man.
Yeah, come on. I'm here. I put the prep in. Let's go. We're getting some text here. Questions for Jim Pete. We'll get to Ant and end the games when we come back, but let's get to a few questions. I think this is the best one. Please ask Jim if he will be interested in being my chief of staff should I be successful in my run for U.S. Senate. This is from Jim in Lakeville. We've got everybody else deciding they're going to replace Tina Smith. Are you willing to be Jim's chief of staff, an individual you've never met? He could be the kindest guy you've ever met. He could be a psychopath. I don't know. Are you willing to say right now you will be his chief of staff?
No, I will not. I don't want to get anywhere near politics. Not interested at all. No. This is too. It's unbelievable. You, however, would be a good politician, I believe. You're very persuasive.
No,
you're persuasive.
I will be a good observer from the side. I'm not that is the waters I'm not jumping into for many reasons you know and other people don't. Let's keep it that way. Texter pointed out J-Mac.
What does a chief of staff do, by the way? Like, what's the job description?
Chief of staff helps coordinate schedules, who you need to meet with, which committees you should be on. Also comes up with lies when you screw up on something. Tips people off on stories that are very favorable about you. And often leaves in scandal. You know, it seems like the chief of staff gets in trouble. So, I mean, I don't think it's that great a gig.
God, I really don't. It's not. It's. I mean, chief of staff being a referee would be worse. I mean, it sounds like they're both awful.
They're neither good. This individual is talking about J-Mac and the fact that he's not here. Now, I was not in the J-Mac group like most of my friends, including you. I thought he had moments, but I thought if he was out there too long, he really was overexposed. But he was an adult. You know, he was an option where we're going to run the offense the right way. We're going to get guys the ball the right way. Now, maybe gets exposed defensively, his shooting problems. But that other adult backup point guard is not on this team.
Well, you know, one of my favorite, like, guys, like, we just chatted with them, and guys that kind of bounce around the league, they're on all these teams, and they have these long careers, and they play for 8, 9, 10 teams. There's a guy named Ish Smith. Remember Ish Smith?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Ish Smith bounced around the league, and, you know, he was one of those guys that got a job because, you know, he's only going to play 10 minutes. He's going to play 5 minutes a half, if that, maybe 3 or 4, you know. But for those 3 or 4, he's going to start in his role. He's good playing whatever you give him, and he's always going to be prepared and ready, and he's not going to hurt you when he comes in the game. And so there's a lot to be said about, you know, giving your starter a little bit of a break, a guy that's going to play 36, 37 minutes a game, Chad, that you need a guy that can only get out there and play 8 minutes and just not hurt you and maybe even help you and run and get you some good runs going. And that was J-Mac. J-Mac, he would come into the game with Naz Reid, and he was such a catalyst for Naz. That year when those two first came with Minnesota, Gerson Rosas, you know, brings J-Mac in from the G League, and then, you know, Naz was an undrafted free agent, and, you know, those guys went to the G League together and they played together. When they came up, they were awesome. And I think J-Mac was one of the first guys to kind of unlock Naz Reid. And so it's that kind of stuff. Cause like, that's not what Rob does. When Rob comes into the game now, he's looking to be a catalyst in a scoring kind of almost, not a ball hog, but you know what I mean? He's kind of looking for his shot. He's looking to create for himself where J-Mac was looking to create for others. And if he made a mistake, J-Mac had this incredible knack of, if he made a mistake or a turnover, he would go get a steal right away. It's almost like he was determined to make up for that mistake. So, I mean, we just don't have – and that's what – you know, the Kyle Andersons of the world, these are glue guys, and we just don't have enough of those kind of high IQ guys. And then Kyle not only could do it on the court, Chad, but he would do it in the locker room, and he would do it in the huddle, and he would keep guys accountable. He was as hard on Carl and Ant and all these guys as anybody. So – I mean, that's kind of the thing that Minnesota really misses. And in some ways, Dante was giving you that before he got hurt.
Let's pause. Let's talk about Anthony Edwards. He has been tremendous of late, except in one area. And obviously, he didn't start well, as we talked about earlier last night or in Cleveland. But he's had 40-point games. But his issues at the end of games is notable. The stats are crystal clear. What's Jim's theory on that? And let's talk about Oklahoma City, the best team in the league, at Target Center tonight. And you'll check out Jim and Michael Grady. They're as good as any duo in the league. I watch a ton of games. It's the real deal. They're as good as any duo you have nationally or locally. They're on FanDuel tonight. Back with Jim in moments.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jim Peace right back with us. Okay, we're going to talk Anthony Edwards end of games. Before I give you some data, Jim, which you know, but maybe the audience does not, on Ant at the end. Dave Harrigan, basketball savant, has his own theory on what happened to Anthony Edwards last night. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's two games in a row that you mentioned. He's had a very slow start. And, I mean, certainly last night we all knew the announcement, but I think even before that against Cleveland, Anthony Edwards was probably tipped off from the governor's office, from MnDOT, that the new snowplow name was going to be Anthony Sledwards. And, frankly, that's a big burden to carry. I think that was too much for Ant.
Likelihood Jim Peterson voted in naming the snowplow, that you took time out of your day and found the website where offering up names.
Well, you know, Grady, we had a read about that. Grady and I were kind of going through some of the names, and I swear to God, all of them escaped me right now. There were some good ones, though. This isn't the first time we've done this naming of the snowplow thing. So but Anthony Sledwards is, I think it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Stop.
No?
Just stop. Just stop. Okay. Johnny K confirms it. The Anthony Edwards experience, here it is. With a chance to tie the game or take the lead with 24 seconds or less left in the fourth quarter overtime. I'm going to say it again. With a chance to tie the game or take the lead, 24 seconds or under his field goal, he is 2 for 21. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd take him. He's one of the stars of the future. He's a star right now. He's by far this team's best player. We think of him as a shot taker and shot maker, but let's be honest, Jim. 2 of 21 is awful.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of the two. I think that one of them was the shot in Sacramento that he hit that Minnesota won a game on earlier in the season.
Yep. That's
and I can't. In fact, that's one of them, and I think there might have been another one in Sacramento that he might have hit as well. But it's not a great record for Ant and there's really, you know, sometimes it's been shot selection, obviously, and like last night. Situation, you know, you can go back and forth on that. You know, I thought that it was just a 2-point game, so you didn't need a 3-point shot. But the Wolves had I don't know what your sensibility was on this, Chad, but the Wolves had, it was 10 seconds, and you had two timeouts left. Do you call a timeout right there and advance the basketball and try to give yourself a quick shot or attack to the basket and try to give yourself an offensive rebounding opportunity should you miss? So, I mean, like the way that play set up, I mean, they just went after, you know, the free throw situation, and they just, you know, breezed up the court right away, and Chris Finch didn't call timeout. And sometimes those broken floor situations are, the best way to get an open shot, and just coming down because they don't want to foul, right? So,
yep. I like it. Normally, Jim, I'm more of a just go guy. I like to go.
Yeah.
No, I did not. I mean, you raise a valid point with two timeouts. So a lot of people were saying, in fact, our friend Jace Frederick pointed out, I think he touched the paint three times last 5 minutes. Some of that is Brooke Lopez, right? But, you know, it's not like Brooke Lopez is Dikembe Mutombo in his prime. On the shot he took, do you think he should have just put his head down and challenged Lopez and went inside instead of taking the three for the lead? Now, this is a guy who's taken as many threes as anybody and who's made as many threes as anybody. So it's not like it was an atypical shot for him in a game.
I got to tell you, when he let that thing go, I thought it was going in. I didn't have a problem. I didn't have a problem with it. And I said it after the fact, too, because, like, I'm with you. Like, I think sometimes calling timeout and advancing the basketball, it's more difficult to get the ball inbounds a lot of times in those half-court situations than it is if you were just to take the ball up the floor and you know, bring it up the way they did it. And so, like, I didn't have a problem with it because I literally feel like whenever Ant shoots the basketball, it's going to go in. He leads the league in three-point percentage. I mean, like, he's you know, one of the great three-point shooters in the game. So, like, he's, I don't know, I just, I don't feel like it's indicative of how clutch he is because he's made a lot of big shots. He's just not making them late in game situations. But I think it's also a primer for a young player. He's 23 years of age and he's been through all these scenarios, Chad. And I think that, you know, you have to go through this trial in order to get really good at it. So I think Ant's getting to the point where he's getting super comfortable being in these high pressure situations. And I think he's going to get better at it. I just don't think it's a matter of time.
Yeah, he's got to start making them, though. You know, and he doesn't have Carl, right? I mean, Carl, by the way, with back-to-back 40s and continues his brilliant season. You know, he does have other guys who can take shots, but in Towns, he had a co-pilot. Now, you get Oklahoma City tonight. Give us the latest on Chet Holmgren, somebody you've known for a long time because you know his dad. You've known his dad, Dave Holmgren, forever. Where are we at with Chet? And what are your thoughts on this Oklahoma City team, which has been the clear-cut best team in the league for the entire season?
Well, I mean, obviously they're getting back a player that is, I think he's going to be an All-NBA player. He's not yet, but he's going to be a multiple-time All-Star. I think he's such a talented young man. And they actually played last night, and so they're in a back-to-back situation themselves. So, They rested Chet last night. They did not play him to save him for this game. So
yeah.
It kind of shows you where Mark Daigneault is in terms of prioritizing games against divisional foes. So, you know, so it's going to be difficult because, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein, they've got, you know, Naz Reid. It's going to be interesting to see Chet. And so, I mean, this is kind of a question for you because I feel like Chet Holmgren is one of the more unique players in the league, much like Naz Reid. And the way that Naz has handled the basketball is really, I mean, his archetype of player, he's really like a center power forward, right? So, and even more mm-hmm. center,
yeah.
Like the archetype of player that he is. And Chet Holmgren's been a center his whole career. He's obviously versatile. And I'm thinking about players that of that size and that archetype that can handle the basketball. I think Naz Reid yeah. is singularly unique, but I think Chet Holmgren is right there with him. You know what I mean? Because Chet's handle is,
yeah.
is I think, just
really
as
good.
Tight as Naz's is.
Yes.
And so when you think about the history of the game, Chet, how many bigs that are that type of player can handle the ball as well as these two guys can handle it? I mean, they're pretty unique,
I would say,
really unique players.
When we were working together, it was kind of the evolution of the power forwards who were doing that, right? Kevin,
yep. Rashid
Weber,
Waller.
Rashid,
yep.
Dirk. You know, not as yep. much Dirk, yep. but you're right. I mean, Naz and Chet are both get the rebound, and most often their teammates just jet away.
Double up
right?
the floor. Exactly. Yeah.
yeah. You yep. know, now yep. Naz, he had that great hoop late. Michael, that's such a great call where he just strides. I think of Naz striding. Where he just, it's like he's got that other, like, crossover step, not dribble, but you think he's going right, and he just fakes those guys out. Chet doesn't necessarily have that, but Chet is wondrous on defense, man. Chet, the stuff Chet does, I think, you know, it's his body, it's the injuries, but if that guy stays healthy for the next 10 years, he's a superstar to me. Nas maybe more of a star than a superstar, but Nas is durable. Nas plays all the time. Chet's got that's a legitimate factor with Holmgren's career going forward.
I had a knockdown drag out argument with a former Timberwolves assistant coach who I'm not going to name, but we had dinner one night, and it was me and Tika and Sanjay and this coach's wife, and we started talking, and this coach was particularly close to Karl-Anthony Towns. And Chet was still coming up. Chet was at Gonzaga at this time, and mm-hmm. I started telling this coach. I said, "Chet Holmgren's going to be better than Karl-Anthony Towns," and he went crazy. Like he just went crazy. I said, "I'm just telling you. I just think that he's going to be really special when he gets in the league. I think within a year or two, I think if you were to ask somebody if you would trade Karl-Anthony Towns for Chet Holmgren, I don't think they would take it. You know, I think that Chet Holmgren is that special. I think if you went around Karl is really kind of, I think he's turned a lot of people's eyes in a different direction of how they view him.
He's been fabulous this year.
He's been good this year. And, you know, really when you think about it, getting with Jalen Brunson for him, Jalen Brunson is probably the best point guard. Well, he is the best point guard that Karl's ever played with.
Yeah, take probably.
Having Jalen Brunson with him has really transformed his game. But I think if you think a year ago how people perceive Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't think there's a player that – I don't think there's a GM in the league that would have traded Chet Holmgren for Karl-Anthony Towns. Do you agree with that?
I want to say this, and the injuries are a factor, and then I got to go. If I could have – because Karl shows no sign of age right now. If I could have Karl or Chet for the next 5 years, until I can see that Chet can play 60, 70 games on a regular basis, I'd take Karl.
Yeah, he's really – so this is an argument that happened a few years back, but you get my point. I mean, like, I think Chet is really special. Because he's so good on both sides of the ball, and to your point – the defensive side, he just impacts the game so much, and I'm just gonna really enjoy. So I'm working with Horton tonight. By the way, I'm gonna be
with
Horton because it's a national game. It's a TNT game tonight. So I could have either Chet. This is how giving I am.
Could have mailed it in.
I could have either been on my way to Cabo San Lucas right now with Tika Pete. I could actually be on the beach right now. By the way, I'd probably already be there.
Dumb decision.
Relaxing. Or I could stay and do the game with Horton tonight, and I chose to stay. So there you go.
Dave Harrigan, what do you want to say about that decision?
I just love the dedication. Thank you, Jim. Pete, we all salute you.
Thank you, Jim. See, I knew Dave would understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's Tika with? That's the question. Tika found some 25-year-old. She's like, yeah, Jim, stay. We're good. All right. I got to go.
Right,
see
you. Okay, thank you, Bob.
Off to Cabo, but not before he works the game tonight on maybe another radio station, maybe an app. I don't know where they are, but he'll work with the great Alan Horton. You can find him on the Fan or somewhere or on the app. Tom Hauser, next on CCO.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.